Good morning. Have you seated? Justice Piper is not able to participate in oral arguments today, but he's read the briefs, and he will be listening to the tapes of the arguments, and he'll be participating in the decisions. First case is 001502 et al. Board of Education, Princeton City School District versus Roger Tracy, Tax Commissioner. Mr. Sauer. I'm sorry, Mr. Hust.
Morning.
You may begin.
Morning, my name is John Hust. I'm here on behalf of the Princeton Board of Education. May it please the court, counsel, I'd like to save 5 minutes for rebuttal.
Watch your time, then.
Despite the length of the brief, I believe this is a fairly simple and straightforward case involving the application of 5709.73, the tax increment financing statute. It was in existence as of the early 1990s. It has since been significantly amended. The TIF procedure, TIF for short, is fairly clear under the statute. The township passes a resolution to build certain public improvements. A property owner, to be benefited by those improvements, agrees to develop its property, and the increase in property tax that accrues because of that development is then used to pay for the public improvements. The taxpayer does not receive any sort of a tax break. It's just a diversion of the taxpayer's taxes to pay for these public improvements. The statute says that the township must find that these public improvements are necessary for the development of the property. In this case, what the township did was two things. First, rather than select certain parcels like the statute required, it in essence created a TIF district, a large block of land within the township. More importantly, and perhaps directly contrary to the statute, the township took or selected Princeton, I call them Princeton parcels, properties lying within the Princeton School District that had already been developed. The first resolution was passed in 1990 and amended in 91. 10 of the 14 parcels had already been built out before the resolution was first passed. So how could these public improvements be necessary to the development of property that had already been developed? The other four remaining parcels were developed, one I believe in 1990, the balance probably in 1991, and in all cases, from the record, none of these property owners were ever contacted by the township prior to their development. This is just the development, if any, that occurs after 1990. None of them entered into any agreements with the township to develop their property. They were first approached in 1996 by the township to file exemption applications. That was the first these property owners had even heard of this. The tax commissioner got halfway there. The Board of Tax Appeals, The Board of Tax Appeals, in its opinion and decision, found that the statutory language contemplated that the public improvements be in existence in order for the further improvements to have benefited from the public improvements. The Board of Tax Appeals said that it was critical as to when the benefit derived therefrom began, when the public improvements were actually constructed. Well, the record is that they were commenced perhaps as early as 1996, but even as late as September of 1999, were only 50% completed. I think it's clear from the Board of Tax Appeals opinion that certainly the township couldn't claim that the exemption was effective prior to 1996. That was the year that the exemption applications were filed. However, the Board of Tax Appeals, I believe, lost its way as to the second part of this decision, which is, from a financial point of view, is also extremely critical to the district. The exemption applications, when originally filed, did not ask for any remission of taxes under the remission statute. It was only a year later that the township prevailed upon the same owners to ask for a remission of taxes. Now, what's inherently contradictory about the Board of Tax Appeals granting a remission of taxes is its earlier conclusion that, in effect, they would not be entitled to any the benefit of the tax increment financing until these public improvements had been built and the properties actually started benefiting therefrom. And the uncontradicted evidence is that that didn't occur until the earliest of 1996. So under what circumstances could there be a remission of taxes prior to 1996 when it's undisputed that no construction of the public improvements had even commenced, much less any development of the property?
Logically, that makes sense. Does the statute, because it is supported by the statute, the statute seems to save the district for TIFs. And we've had a lot of complaints about TIFs over the course of the years. That statute's pretty broad. It just says the property within the district, doesn't it?
It actually refers, Your Honor, I believe, to certain parcels and not to TIF districts. And while
I guess is the
right
word I'm looking for.
It doesn't. The statute has existed in 1990 and 91, talked about necessary for the development of certain parcels. If you took what the township did in this case, theoretically, the township could have created a TIF district coterminous with its own boundaries. Said the whole township is subject to TIF, and then at any point take parcels of property in that district and say, and divert taxes from them to support public improvements. The statute was really pretty straightforward and clear that there has to be this causal connection between the public improvements and the development of the property. And our position is, and particularly in this case, it's highlighted by the fact that these properties were developed before anybody made any application for an exemption and before any public improvement started. In fact, 6 years passed from the time of the initial resolution of the township before anything was done in terms of seeking owners to file applications, before any construction began. And it's our view that that in this circumstance, the township went well beyond the powers enumerated in 5709.73. We also believe the Board of Tax Appeals had the authority in considering the exemption application to determine whether these properties were in fact entitled to exemption, whether the statute had been followed. The Board of Tax Appeals took the position that it didn't have such authority, but it, by statute, is the tax commissioner first, and then to the Board of Tax Appeals. The tax commissioner decides exemption applications all the time, whether it's for religious purposes, charitable purposes. The tax commissioner has to make that determination. In this case, he refused to do so. At this point, I would just would like to save my remaining time for rebuttal unless...
Just one more thing, then, before you're completed. What is the issue about the January 1, 1996 date? It seems to me that you agree with the tax commissioner in that regard.
We do. One of our major arguments was that the effective date of the exemption couldn't be any earlier than the year in which the owner filed the exemption application, which was 1996, whereas the township has sought to capture, if you will, the accrual or the increase in true value of the property retroactive to the date that it passed its resolution in 1990. These properties obviously appreciated over those 6 years, and our argument was that you can't go back and seek to start measuring the tax improvement based on that value. You have to start with 1996. You'd have to look at the value, assuming you get beyond the hurdle of the fact that these properties were already built out. But at the earliest, certainly before they could start capturing that increase in true value, would be January 1 of 1996.
The BTA approved what the tax commissioner did in that.
That's the way I read the BTA's decision.
And there's no cross appeal here, is there?
There has been no cross appeal, no.
And why do you make such a point of it with regard to the January 96 date? That's what I thought I was missing. Nobody's complained about that.
True, but it relates to our whole argument that you really couldn't start looking at this until January 1 of 1996 because that's when the application was filed. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Hust. Mr. Sauer.
Thank you. If it pleases the court, at council table with me is Mr. Sam Scoggins, counsel for Duke Realty Limited Partnership, and we are splitting our time on behalf of Appalee. The issue in this case is what the basis of the exemption under 570973 is. In an exemption statute, anytime you have an exemption, you start with identifying what the authority is. In this case, it's a statutory authority for an exemption. Then you go to the basis of the exemption in the statute. Is there a use? Is there some sort of underlying action or preceding action by a legislative authority? Then you go to the implementation from the standpoint of a property owner claiming the exemption. In the present case, the statute 570973. The basis in the statute is not a use, it's not a benefit. The issue before the Tax Commission, the Board of Tax Appeals, and this court is not whether certain public improvements benefited certain parcels of property. The issue and the basis in the statute for an exemption is certain action by the legislative authority of the township. The section states that a legislative authority, the Board of Trustees of a township, may, by unanimous vote on a resolution, make certain findings that a public purpose is served by certain public improvements necessary to the development of certain parcels of property.
Restriction on that, the ability of in this case, a township to do that. Council suggests that they can't pick and choose parcels. I mean, can it be that they designate the entire geographic boundaries of the township?
The language is broad, as Justice Douglas said. It's a very broad statute, which is designed for the purpose of facilitating the funding of these township projects. In the scope of that statute, it does allow them to, it talks about designating parcels, which is what the resolution in this case, as we've set it forth in our second supplement, did. They could, in answer to your question, I think it's the answer to your question, is they could go and designate every parcel within a taxing district that they feel is benefited. But that's the determination that the Board of Township Trustees is charged with making and authorized to make. And the point that we tried to make in this case throughout is that when it lands on the desk of the tax commissioner via an application for exemption under 572715, the charge to the tax commissioner is to look at that statute, which is provides the basis of the exemption, and see what events have happened. It's the same as any development statute or an exemption that you have. We cited Dayton versus Cloud, which was a 1972 decision of this court, which upheld similar increment financing for urban renewal bonds. You had the same type of structure, and that was decided 15 years before the first TIF statute was enacted.
In that case, were some of the parcels already developed?
Pardon?
In that case, were some of the parcels already developed? Doesn't the statute contemplate really undeveloped parcels?
Well, that's an interesting point, because I think there's some confusion as to what parcel, what development is occurring. If you look at the statutory transcripts of the tax regime, that are part of the record before the Board of Tax Appeals and now before the Supreme Court, and these are the statutory transcripts in each application, there are the property cards that came with the application. If you look at those property cards, virtually all of these parcels have building permits that followed the date of this resolution. I am confused by the claim.
You're disagreeing with the
Yes, I am.
He said that 10 parcels were already developed.
Right. But I submit that it's irrelevant what it is. I don't believe the statute ties that string to the exemption or puts that restriction on the exemption. If you look at the language of the statutes, it doesn't say that it has to follow a certain time, the resolution, the development. It just has to make a the Board of Trustees of the Township have to make that finding.
But isn't the purpose of the statute to encourage development?
Mm-hmm. And I think you can encourage development. Mr. Scoggins is prepared to explain the role of these TIF financings for these property owners that come in. But if you have to look at TIF financing, and the first step for any public improvement is to identify your sources of financing. You may have to then go out and get engineering studies. You may have to define exactly where these improvements are going to be. But while that's going on, property owners and developers may anticipate it. If they've got this resolution in place, they may proceed too. There's no order required by the statute that you have to have a completion of an improvement before property can be developed. Property can be developed on behalf of it.
Let me stop you there. The words of point 73 that say in the first part of it, early up in the section, public improvements made that are necessary for the development of certain parcels of land located in an unincorporated township, such resolution may exempt from real property taxation further improvements to a parcel of land which benefited from such public improvements. I think such public improvements must mean the first reference to public improvements, but don't those words contemplate that are necessary for the development of certain lands located, that I suppose that there's something in the record that shows that the land was developed on the assumption or on the promise or on the belief that the township trustees would adopt this resolution that would help. But don't the words seem to indicate that public improvements made that are necessary for the development, that if its development's already been completed without the public improvements, it wouldn't seem that they're necessary for the development, would it?
Well, I think the development can be in anticipation of it, and that's the point that we're making. But I think you also have to look at the statutory definition of further improvements, which makes it very clear that the exemption goes to any increase in value, not just, and this was an incorrect statement by the appellant, that the exemption only goes to the improvements that are constructions or additions to the property. Any increase in value. And the whole point of this
is... We're not talking about increase in value.
Yes, we are. When we're talking about further improvements... I'm sorry.
Yeah, further improvements are, but we're talking about the original improvement. I mean, you want the bright line to say, and that's what I think the board has done, that a building that had been constructed 10 years ago can be included. You really believe that's what the statute says, don't you?
Yeah, I think it does. Yes, Your Honor, it does.
Let me press you, because you didn't answer my question, I guess. Public improvements made that are necessary for the development of certain parcels of land. Now, how should we read those words?
You can have a building on a land, you can have developments. If you look at the building permits in the statutory transcript, you have to have additions to existing buildings.
Well,
but what you have is the development of the land.
That's not what the appellant's arguing, I don't think. I'm sure you can, and sure you can have, I would guess you could have a TIF for subsequent improvements. The statute says that. But I think he's talking about, as I understand him, he's saying that you cannot have a TIF for exemption for improvements that are completed for property that's already been developed. It's done. The development's done. And now you, now there are public improvements, and you say, well, those improvements are necessary for the development. Doesn't the record have to show that somehow? That,
well, I think one of the...
I'm just looking at this, what the General Assembly has told us, given us. I mean, that's all we're doing.
I think, yes, and I think the answer to that is to look at the concept of development, necessary to the development. Does that mean a specific construction or specific activity on that parcel of land? And my answer to that is no, it does not mean that the exemption's only going to that. That a public improvement has to have a direct tie to
but
that.
You're saying if there's a large development and part of it is completed, that the public improvements can be exempted if they go to the entire area, but part of it's already been developed.
That's on the parcel, saying. Yes. And in fact, what you're talking about is an indirect benefit to it. The current version of this TIF statute does talk about direct benefits as opposed to benefits to the development of it. One last thing before I turn over to Mr. Scoggins. With respect to this remission issue, remission is simply a retroactive recognition of a right to an exemption. And the statute 5713.08 authorizes the commissioner to make grant those remissions subject to 0.081, which puts a 3-year limit on it. That's all that's happened here. 570973, by reference, directs the commissioner to that, so that remission of these that was granted is appropriate. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Sauer. Mr. Scoggins.
Thank you. May it please the court. My name is Sam Scoggins. I represent Duke Realty Limited Partnership, which is one of the six property owners involved in the exemption applications in this case. I also represent Westchester Township, which formerly known as Union Township, which was the township involved in this case, and Union Township filed an amicus brief in this case.
The appellate's brief seems to convey the strong impression that nothing changed, nothing was developed during this period of time, but your brief seems to indicate there were improvements. Can you clarify that issue?
Yes, Your Honor, there were a number of improvements made. In fact, Duke had several parcels of property. Part of them were included in the first resolution, the 1990 resolution. Duke then went back to the township and asked to add additional parcels in the 91 resolution in order to make sure that this financing was going to go through so that these improvements could be completed. The whole issue involved here was improving a system of roadway improvements in the township so that commercial traffic, particularly those from the subject parcels, could be improved, especially to Interstate 75. This was an $84 million project, of which the TIF financing was one component, was about $10 million. And what's at stake here today is about $6 million of that $10 million, the parcels that were within Princeton School District. There were, as Mr. Sauer mentioned, a number of physical improvements to parcels that were included in the 1990 resolution. There was new construction on parcels in both the 90 resolution and the 91 resolution. And in addition, as was made clear in the testimony before the Board of Tax Appeals, these property owners, including Duke, had approached the township and said, if this roadway system is not completed, we are not going to be able to maintain our presence in these businesses because it's gotten that bad. So it was a question of not just the existing development, but is that going to fall back into some secondary use, and would there be further development?
Are there any parcels fully developed and not improved, not further improved?
I think that goes really to the definition of what does fully developed mean. I dare say that every parcel has had development on it. If you define development strictly as a physical real estate addition, which I don't think is in the statute.
Well, as opposed to landscaping.
Yeah, there has been development of every parcel, and I think
wait,
that
development of every parcel, but not physical development to the structure.
I believe the testimony was that there have been improvements to every parcel in some capacity.
Okay, now, as the chief says, I don't think they're disputing. The statute says that
TIF can cover those improvements.
Right.
Talking about the basic original structure, how can that be included in the language of the statute?
I think the reason is because what the statute authorizes is for, and this is a particularly local determination by township trustees who are really, of all the participants, in the best position to make the judgment as to which public improvements are necessary for the further development of which parcels. The statute does not say further development means the same as further improvement. Further improvement is the measure of the exemption, and that's the increase in value from the effective date of the resolution to the date when the exemption is put into place. The counsel for the appellant has suggested that the effective date of the resolution should be 1996, the effective date of the exemption. The statute is very clear in saying the effective date of the exemption is the date that the resolution becomes effective. And
you want to go all the way back to 90?
It goes back to 1990 is when the exemption goes into place, and that's
isn't
what the resolution...
Isn't what before us, though, the Board of Tax Appeals says, 1196?
The exemption is recognized by the Board of Tax Appeals as of 1196 because that was the year in which the applications were filed.
Okay, but you're arguing that it goes all the way back to 1990. We can't find that, can we? There's no appeal on that issue.
The statute says that the resolution commences on the effect, that the exemption commences on the effective date of the resolution.
So the Board of Tax Appeals was wrong.
All the Board of Tax Appeals was determining it was when the first year would be that the actual transfer of funds would, that this portion of it, the increase in value, would then result in a transfer of funds to the tax increment equivalent fund instead of into real estate taxes.
Your argument is, I think, that the property about which Mr. Huss complains is covered by the 1990 resolution of the township trustees. Is that right? That the improvements, the, what we call the basic or the first improvements, were completed after that resolution was adopted. Is that right? And therefore, they're exempt.
All of the increase in value is exempt for all of the parcels. We're not trying to distinguish between the 1990 and the 1991 parcels. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Huss, you saved about 5 minutes of your time.
Thank you. I don't anticipate needing all of it. I am confident that the record supports the fact that these properties were developed prior to these resolutions and without any consideration of the resolution. I think in our brief I went through each of the properties and indicated what the sworn answers submitted by the property owners indicated. But to give you a flavor for this, the Bushman Company built a multi-million dollar facility, and I apologize, I don't remember the precise amount, but I'm going to say it's something in the area of $4 to $5 million. In 1996, United Stationers bought the building and the land in 1990 and made no improvements. Dry Ridge Capital Partners purchased the property for $5 million in 1991 and made no improvements. And the other thing is that all these owners agree that they never even heard of this until 1996 when they were approached by the township about filing applications. Yes, the record does indicate that certain property owners complained to the township about the state of the roads and transportation, but curiously, those people were already there. They had businesses and operations. They were complaining about the traffic, and that isn't the parcels that we're here about. We're here about these parcels in the Princeton School District that were developed without any consideration of these resolutions. And the statute's clear. It's not just that the public improvements benefit a parcel. I will tell you, and I don't think this is beyond dispute among anybody, that the improvements that the township has made have benefited hundreds of parcels of property, many owners of property in Union, Westchester Township now. Some of those properties were built, some of them weren't. But the question is, when they passed this, were these necessary to the development of these parcels? And the facts are that these parcels were already developed. Thank you.
Thank you. The case is submitted. You'll be advised of our opinion.